Father, we thank you for this morning.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, thank you for your gift, for the time of rejoicing before you. Lord, blessed be your name, Lord. We are taught in the scripture that the entrance to your word is gift life. So, Lord, this morning, as we read the scriptures again, let that light shine out of your presence all over us, Lord, and to our spirit, and to soak us, Lord, through God, like a sponge in the water, Lord. Soak us in your spirit as we read your word, Lord. Father, we thank you and give us understanding and all the blessings that go with that be upon us all. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, this morning, I've talked about this one before, but I just felt led to talk about it again. The Lord promised us in the Great Commission, that is in Mark 16, and the subject is, they shall speak with new tongues. So that's the subject this morning, by the grace of God. Let's just look at that scripture again. And it's a promise from the Lord himself. So you all have known about the Great Commission. I call it the Great Commission. In Mark 16, I want to read, from verses 15 through what they call the Great Commission. It's all in the Gospels, but because the subject is, they shall speak with new tongues, is one of the things I want to talk about, So, now, Mark 16 is one of the most important passages in the Bible. Yes, it is, for many reasons. There in this chapter, the Lord gave the church the Great Commission. What is it? It's in Mark 16, 15 through 19. And I read, and he said unto them, go ye into all the word and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. See, that's what I want to talk about. They shall speak with new tongues. Then other things go along with it. They shall take off serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So, like I said, these are the last words of our Lord before he went back to heaven. And that the Lord should have included the sign of the speaking with tongues in his Great Commission emphatically calls attention to this significance, to the very importance of it. Why would the Lord mention such a thing as part of his last words to the church? So, in fact, speaking in other tongues was even foretold in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And I will take it back to always say what I always say here. When you think this way, then the Bible becomes just one to you, not just two Bibles, or old and new. They are all come together in one. So we know that, the Bible says that many people, we have pressed that many times, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, And when the New Testament came, it revealed all the things that are spoken about in the Old Testament. It expanded on them, really. So, and we found out that all the great truths of the New Testament all have their roots in the Old. Almost anything we want to talk about in the New Testament, they have their roots in the Old Testament. As we see now, so speaking with new tongues, and the Lord promised us, even has its roots also in the Old Testament. Okay? So, it is not surprising, therefore, that the phenomenon of speaking with tongues is clearly foretold in the book of Isaiah. That was 800 years before the church even began, before the church age. So the prophecy itself in Isaiah, is a remarkable one, as well as very, very significant, because it is sandwiched in Isaiah 24 to 28. Well, there is something about the Bible, as far as that is a book within a book. We call it a book within a book. Because, for example, it has 66 chapters. The same number of books in the Bible. So, there are 66 books in the Bible. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. So, in chapter 24 to 28, contains a lot of things about the end of the age. In fact, they call it the literal apocalypse. So, Isaiah 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28 is called the literal apocalypse because there is a portrayal of the old events of the end time. You can go to that chapter and read the old events of the end of the age in those chapters of Isaiah 24, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So, in there you find the great tribulation. There you will see the destruction of the Gentile powers. There in those chapters you will see the resurrection of the dead. As you don't forget, in the time of the Easter time, we even read from the 26th chapter, where it says, that dead men shall live, and together with my dead body shall they arise, and so on. So it's idea. You talk about the resurrection of the dead, talk about the tribulation, talk about the restoration of Israel, the establishment of the millennial kingdom is spoken of, and the body of Satan, all in those five chapters, you know, the end of the age, and so on. So this view of events also records with this world judgment. So it talks about the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost and the ascending phenomenon of speaking in tongues. So you see, those four chapters talk about end time events, and then in those end time events, it included the speaking with new tongues in the book of Isaiah. So, and let's not go to that place. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Just part of what I'm saying now. We are going to read the relevant part. I can't go into all the end time events he spoke about, but the 20th chapter spoke about speaking with tongues. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and other tongue, see that? Other tongue, or another tongue, will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. So don't forget the Lord said that in Mark 16, the commission, they shall speak with new tongues. So I already prophesied that with stammering lips and another tongue, which means they shall speak with new tongues, will they speak to these people. So what is the importance of this prophecy there? It's a prophetic thing. What is the importance? No. One, the fulfillment of the prophecy is associated to the end of the age. Like I tell you, Isaiah 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, they will end time events. And there is prophesied of the phenomenon of speaking with other tongues. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of the end time events. So at the end of time, we call the speaking in tongues. So when you see the church break forth on the day of Pentecost, and the speaking in tongues break forth, we are at the end time really. So speaking in tongues will be a special means by which God will see reach his people, you know, of that day, like this prophecy said, and so on. And usually, the idea is stammering lips with speaking in tongues. When people begin to speak in tongues initially, it's not really smooth, you know, and they can stammer a little bit and so forth. That is always prophecy fulfilling. But as they yield to God, then they begin to get fluent, you know. So the prophet saw everything like that. It's always like that, and so on. When people receive the Holy Ghost, when they speak in tongues, they stammer at first, but as they went to yield to God in their life and so forth, they become very, very fluent, you know. So prophecy foretold all these things. So those who experience this should not be amazed or be surprised if that happened to you, that you have to stammer initially when you receive the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues like that. Prophecy should be like that and so forth, you know. Now, there's a special, with this speaking in tongues, Bible promised a special refreshing and rest that God will give his people. So, the Bible says so. You know, in that same place where I read in verse 12, it says a time of refreshing for God's people. Of course, despite the manifestation of this divine phenomenon, the Bible prophesied that many will harden their hearts and even reject it. Some will even call it of the devil and some that, you know, we have heard that before, you know. And exactly what the book of Isaiah said is happening today. You know, so the Bible said they will not, some will not, you know, receive it, some will even call it of the devil and so on. So just as the prophet said, so it is happening. Now, let's now go into this subject proper. The New Testament even now tells us that the prophecy of Isaiah refers that the speaking in tongues is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. So, and let's look at the 1 Corinthians 14. So, in the New Testament, where the Bible is discussing the various gifts of the Spirit, it refers to the prophecy of Isaiah as being fulfilled. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, let's see what it says now. It refers back to that Old Testament, you know, prophecy of Isaiah. 1 Corinthians 14 is the last chapter of three chapters where the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, you know. It's in 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. So, but let's see how 1 Corinthians 14, 21 refers back to the book of Isaiah, as I just said to you just now. In the law, it says, it is written, with men of other songs and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that they will, they will not hear, said the Lord. So you can see that it's quoting directly from the Old Testament, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, you know. So you can see now that without any shadow of doubt, the prophet of Isaiah talking about the end time and so forth. Now let's see more about the speaking in tongues, speaking other tongues in the Bible. The Lord gave it in the Great Commission, Isaiah prophesied of it. So can you see the importance now? You know, now we know that in the upper room there were 120 people gathered together to obey the word of God, you know. And we find that all the 120 of them spoke with tongues. First of all, the Lord, before he left, in Luke 24, verse 49, again, here are some of the last words of Jesus to the people of God at the end time. It's in Luke 24, verse 49. And here is what he says. And the Lord said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his arm and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. So what are you saying here? Of those people that hear these words, 120 of them obey what the Lord said in verse 29, to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they endue with power from on high. That's how those 120 went to the upper room. We know that more than 120 people, we were taught in the Bible that even at one time 500 people saw him. We believe that 500 may be among those ones who hear these same words. But only 120 obeyed the Lord. Bible said they went to Jerusalem with great joy, and they began to tarry before the Lord. And 120 of them began to wait upon the Lord. And of course, truly enough, there came a day as they were waiting, they call it the day of Pentecost. And I read that in Acts 2:1. So as they were waiting, as the Lord taught them or commanded them, in Acts 2:1 I read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were at one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You see, the Lord can manifest himself in various ways, you know. So can you imagine what happened there? You know, a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where these 120 were sitting. Then what happened next? And there appeared unto them, all of them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. The Lord can manifest himself in so many, many ways. Then what happened next? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened next? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Very, very important. We speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Exactly what Isaiah said will happen, exactly what the Lord said will happen in Mark 16, you know. So speaking with other tongues, what we said and so on, but it happened to them. So as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. We are just walking through the Bible to see how, right from the book of Isaiah, about 600 years before the time of Christ, talking about the church of God, speaking in tongues and so on, that you know, and through the Bible, ages and so on to this end of time, God is still doing it, and he's doing it today too, you know. So let's see more in the Bible. So that's the day of Pentecost, right? That is the beginning of it all. Now, we know that the first Gentiles are to be saved, receive the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with other tongues. You all know the first Gentile to be saved is the house of Cornelius in Acts 10. I want to show the consistency of the Bible, you know, about this particular blessing from the Lord, you know. So, you remember, Cornelius didn't even, wasn't even saved, you know. Oh, we know that he was a, Bible says, a righteous man. He fasted to the Lord, and he, you know, he gave alms to the people, and the Lord saw his heart. He was seeking after God and so on. An angel appeared to him, and to go and call Peter to come and show the way of salvation, you know. And in Acts 10, we are reading for. And when Peter came, as he began to preach to Cornelius and his house, there the Holy Ghost fell on them. So that is in Acts 10:44. Why Peter yet spake these things? Which you can go and read. What is he speaking about? Peter was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was crucified before the people, and he rose again from the dead, and he said that we are witnesses of these things. As he said that, you know, the Bible says about 44 Acts 10, why Peter yet spake this thing? The Holy Ghost fell on all them. Like the 120. All of them received, you know, on all of them, which had the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They were thinking only the Jews to receive the Holy Ghost. But God surprised them in the heart of Cornelius. The Holy Ghost is for us Gentiles too. So they were surprised, they were amazed, you know. For as many as came with Peter from Jerusalem, because that of the Gentiles also was poured out the gifts of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Well, in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that this should not be baptized? Can you imagine? These people are not even saved. They were hearing the gospel for the first time ever. Though they served God the way they knew, but you see, when God now revealed to Cornelius that they started to hear the gospel, the same day, it happened to people in different order. You know, some people now, they would have been saved for many years before they received the Holy Ghost, but if you put the same day they were saved, they received the Holy Ghost and also spoke with tongues. Now, let's see more examples in the Bible, just to broaden our spiritual mind, you know, of these great blessings from the Lord, you know, and to continue to whet our appetite, you know. Let's see Apostle Paul, you know, and in the case of Paul, they can show us many things. Sometimes people will receive the Holy Ghost, they may not speak in tongues immediately. It has been in many, many, even in this our dispensation, I have seen many people like that, many people like that and so on. They received the Holy Ghost, they didn't speak in tongues immediately. But later on, they did speak. We believe such is the case with Apostle Paul. Because in Acts 9, the Bible gave the account of how Paul received salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But nothing was said about him speaking with tongues in India. Let's go to Acts 9:17. You know how he was on his way to Damascus to go and continue to persecute the Christians, and how God appeared to him on the way, and in the dark blinding light that blinded him, and you know, for 3 days he was blinded and so forth. And then God spoke to an old Christian, the Ananias, to go to him. And that's why I'm reading now in verse Acts 9:17. So God appeared to Ananias to go and tell Paul, do what now? In Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, meaning on Saul, as he was called back, back and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's all we hear in that chapter. So, therefore, the Paul speaking in tongues there, nothing was said about him speaking in tongues here. Establishing the fact that some people may receive the Holy Ghost and those speaking in tongues right away, at least the Bible did not say that he speak in tongues here. So, and there are many, many people in this age also who had the same experience. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, but he didn't speak in tongues right away. But maybe as due to wait upon the Lord, you know, the Lord blessed them. Anyway, but we know that Paul speak in tongues anyway, because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. So we are expanding the word of God to see that this is a blessing for every Christian. You know, that's where we are taking this matter. It's for every Christian. After all, the Lord said in Mark 15, it's a sign that you follow all that believe. That's what the Bible says, you know. So, and in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, here is what Apostle Paul wrote. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. In telling the Corinthian church. Maybe they never can speak in tongues, but you know what? I will not do it in the public, as you may think, or the day I received the Holy Ghost, but eventually I was blessed. And even now, you Corinthian church, I will speak in tongues more than you all. So even though nothing was said of Paul speaking in tongues, when another laid his hand upon him, we know that eventually that he spoke in tongues. So what is the importance of Paul? We're talking about Paul now. What is the importance of Paul's experience that he spoke in tongues? What is the importance of that? It's very important because the Bible says that Paul was to be a pattern for all Christians who will believe after him. The Bible says so in 1 Timothy 1. In 1 Timothy 1, 16, so the Bible tells us Apostle Paul was to be a pattern of all those who will believe in the Lord after him. So I read, How be it? For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, meaning Paul, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So that Paul, this Paul or Saul, whose life was to be a pattern to all believers, spoke with tongues, is one more reason to convince all believers that God is ready to give also them the gift, you know, of speaking with tongues. The couple was a pattern, right, to all who we believe, right? So then, if you repeat the same thing, this sign shall follow all that believe, right? And the Bible now says that's what the Lord said in Mark 16, right? And we see one of the chiefest apostles. The Bible says that himself, both his conversion, we can learn from his conversion, no matter how bad somebody can do. He even said he was not even worthy to become an apostle because they persecuted the church. You see? Remember, he was there, he was the one who held the clothes of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr of the church, you know? But you see, the mercy of God reached on after him and caught up with him, you know? No matter how bad people can be, God can still save them, you know? So it's a pattern that showing us that no matter how bad anybody is, whether it's a murderer, whether you used to be a thief, whether you used to be an alcoholic or whatever it is, God can see and want to save them. Not only that, God wants all of us all to speak with new tongues, Bible says. So it was a pattern of that too. So we are just looking to the Bible to see that in every situation that believers, you know, speak with other tongues. In the Bible, as I said, I prophesied back 700-800 years before the church age. Let's see another example in Acts 19. Now, this event I'm reading here now in Acts 19. It's about 25 years after the day of Pentecost that I read to you in Acts 2, according to Bible chronology. 25 years after Pentecost, people are still receiving the Holy Ghost. and praise God. Of course, we are all here today. We are all witnesses. 2,000 years, we are still receiving the Holy Ghost, you know. Anyway, 25 years after Pentecost, those who receive the Holy Spirit speak with tongues too, you know. So let's quickly read in Acts 19, you know, 1 through about verse 7. So as Christians, we may not have the same specific way that God blesses us, but eventually we'll come to the same experience, but in different ways, but the same God, you know. So these are Christians, you know, in Acts 19, and they didn't have the experience Paul had, and yet they were Christians, you know. They were just having the law the way they know best, that have been taught. Anyway, let's read it for ourselves in Acts 19:1-7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, they were Christians, they were disciples, you know, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And he said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And they were Christians, yes, sure, you know. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So, and of course, you know, John the Baptist was preaching. I'm going to skip that to quickly to that in Matthew 3:11. Here is the preaching of John the Baptist is talking about here. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes are not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what Paul was referring to, talking to those people at Ephesus, you know. Yeah, you do well that you have the John baptism, but don't forget, you people at Ephesus, that even that same John pointed to Christ as the one who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's why on the day of Pentecost and Acts 2, the Bible said they appear unto them, cloven tongues as of fire. See, that is in Acts 2:3 that I read before. Anyway, go back to the Acts 19 verse 5 now. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is water baptism right there. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. All of them, in each case, all of them, nobody was left out. The 120 in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost when he came upon them. All the people in the Cornelius house, himself, all of his family, and all his friends that he invited, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues. That's what Jesus said. The Lord said that these signs shall follow them that believe. One of the signs, they shall speak with new tongues. We are laying this foundation and walking through the Bible to show that every Christian is preordained, you know, and you know, to speak with new tongues. But so when they have understanding of these things, and then they will desire these things, and they will know the will of God, and without faith, God will do the same thing for them. How can you single somebody out? Look at every instance in the Bible. The same occurrence. No matter if they are 120, they received the same experience. If they are all of a house, they got the same experience. And here are 12 disciples. Nobody was left out. That is the generosity of God, you know. Now, even the speaking with tongues is so important in the Bible that there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit. As a special version of the speaking with tongues, which come as a gift of the Spirit, and it's going to be different from the general one. So in 1 Corinthians 12 is where the Bible talks mostly about the gifts of the Spirit, I want to read verse 7 of that. So speaking with tongues is a gift of God to the church. So, and I'm saying it's so important that it's even one of the gifts of the Spirit, though in a special, in a different dimension. So let me read for you 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. Can you see now? Every Christian is qualified. That's all you need. To be a Christian, that's all you need. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, meaning every Christian, to profit with that. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. All these are the gifts of the Spirit that I'm reading here. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. So all these are called the gifts of the Spirit. That, and now look, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, not only that, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So the tongues are so important that even it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, albeit in a different dimension. It even has another gift to it called the interpretation of tongues. So let me talk a little bit before we bypass this one, this type of diverse tongues. So it's a little bit different from what you receive, you know, when you receive the Holy Ghost and you speak with tongues. It's in another dimension. So this is to be differentiated from the gift of the Holy Spirit as we read in Acts 2:4, where the Bible says, and they all began to speak with tongues. Yes. So this gift is different from that. So the one in Acts 2:4 is for everybody. So that when you receive the Holy Ghost and so forth, and you see the Lord, and you speak in tongues, like I did in Acts 19. So it's a different one. That is Acts 2:4 experience, you know. And that's for every Christian. Every Christian. So for his own edification. What he's talking here in 1 Corinthians 12 is a little bit different. This one is activated, or it's you before the body of Christ, like in a church gathering, you know. And so not everyone who received the Acts 2:4 experience is qualified to minister the gift in the public. We see it misused all the time, almost all the time, you know. People will be in a church and so on. People are praying and so on, they're praying, you know, speaking in tongues and so on, nobody's interpreting it. That's not right. So Bible says, let them speak to themselves. You know, because God doesn't disqualify them, but they're not knowledgeable, right? So anyway, that's a different subject anyway. So the one that you speak in the public is another, is a gift of the Spirit, and you either know that there's somebody in the audience who can interpret it, or you just speak to yourself, you know, in the Lord. You know, between you and the Lord and so forth, you know. So anyway, this one, you know, this gift is a more varied manifestation of the gift of speaking in other tongues. This one in the public one. So but it's different from what you receive personally, you know, like in Acts 2:4. So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, we are told that God has set diversity of tongues in the church. So that diversity of tongues in the church. So, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. These are called ministry gifts now. Then gifts of healing, herbs, government, and diversity of tongues, you know. So now, nevertheless, the gifts of the Spirit are surely, we need them today in the church today. So, but what I'm saying, to make clear, not everybody has the gift of diversity of tongues as to minister it in the public. Not everybody does that. So, and just like not everybody can prophesy, although the Bible encourages us all to prophesy one by one, we are all encouraged to do that. So we need them today. So we can see now, it is so important that the Lord can give that gift of speaking in tongues to you, or you know, as a personal edification, or even furthermore, to edify the church in public. That is how important it is. Now, God has promised that He will not withdraw the gift from the church. Some will say that, this gift of speaking in tongues is only for the early church and not for the end time church. Is that true? There is no such thing in the Bible. The rather, Bible confirms that these things, these gifts, will last even to the coming of Christ. So those churches who fall behind, or they even deny this thing because they can't reach out, and then that's a condemning or put it in the early church only. But what did the Bible say about this thing? In 1 Corinthians 1:5, we disprove them because the Bible, these gifts are going to be working in the people who believe right to the coming of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:5, the Bible says that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. That utterance, I'm sure, is talking about what I've talked about before, that part of speaking in tongues that is used to edify the public, not the one you have personally to yourself. Now, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, look at this. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The point is in verse 7. So when you hear people say, speaking in tongues or these gifts are done with the, we're only for the early church, the Bible says no. So that you come behind in no gift, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 1, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this gift, including speaking in tongues, will continue right to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what he's saying here. So when you hear anybody start to say or disprove that for the other church only, now you know the Bible and you know the scripture, and then nobody can convince you otherwise. So you keep your eye on the Lord. So one more thing, why we should aspire. Even not because the Lord commanded it yet, it's a promise of the Lord, right? But you have so many benefits to yourself. You know, because Bible says that when you speak in an old tongue, you are speaking directly to God. You can bypass your own intellect. You know, you can bypass Satan. You can bypass people around you when you are speaking in the spirit to the Lord alone. Bible says that speak in unknown tongue, speak unto God. That is in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Can you see why once you desire, say convert honestly the gift? You have to convert, and so on that, So later on, I'm going to give you some materials that you will read on your own. And today you can ask questions in this forum. You can ask questions today, when I can ask me questions when you finish this thing this morning. I'm going to give you some materials later, but for now. So, just to really encourage your heart, he who speaks in an own tongue speaks to God. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. See, you all know charity is love, right? Then we are also commanded to desire spiritual gifts. Just desire this, But rather, that ye may prophesy. Now look at here, I'm going back to. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Isn't that wonderful? You can bypass Satan, can bypass mankind, even your own intellect. You want to pray about something, you don't even have to pray about it, right? And this gift of speaking in tongues, you are speaking directly to God. And it's a way, even Paul said, I will speak with my understanding. I will pray with an understanding, and he said, I will pray in the spirit. This is the follow you, this is the channel you turn to when you are praying about something you don't even know how you should go. Then you just pray because the Holy Ghost won't make a mistake, right? And you pray in the spirit and so forth, you know, and you know you are speaking directly to God, you know. There is not your will you are praying at that time, see, but the very will of God. For that alone, even for this one alone, for this particular blessing alone, I mean, it's enough reason that one should convert honestly. That is, convert them honestly. This blessing and so on. So many people wonder about God's purpose in speaking in tongues. All I've been saying today is about this. You know? And here is one reason that I just mentioned right now, which is even sufficient. If that's the only reason why I want to speak in tongues, on top of that, Christ is applicable to all believers. You know? So, but even that, you can see directly to God. It's wonderful, you know? Wonderful. Bypass Satan and demons and so on, you know? So, and here is a means of communicating with God, which neither man nor demons understand. See? So, I think it's worth coveting. Now, and another reason why we are encouraged to speak in tongues is that in so doing, you edify yourself. You edify me to build up yourself spiritually, you know. And that's why God gave, another reason why God gave that gift to every Christian. So you can build up yourself, edify yourself. That is in 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Edify me to build up yourself spiritually, edifieth himself. But he that prophesied edified the church. That's why, unless you have the gift of diverse tongues to minister to the public, you have to speak directly to God quietly in our assembly. I had people pray and speak in tongues and so on. That's not the proper way to do it and so on. But prophecy, so when you speak in tongues in the assembly to yourself, quietly to yourself, to God and so on, you are being edified on your private prayer life. You are edifying yourself. Whether you know it or not, you are building up yourself. Bible says in the book of Jude, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't have that scripture here. That was the same in the book of Jude. See? So, no, I say, building up yourself, edify yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Can you see that blessing? So, it makes it worth its while, you know, for one to just convert this blessing. So, now, naturally, until a person speaks in tongues, he cannot understand how it can be a blessing to him, or how it can be an edification on the experience is feeling. You won't know, you know. And but once he receives the Holy Spirit, he finds the experience carries with it rich spiritual blessings. It is a supernatural experience that he never will forget, you know. See? So I think it's the hallmark after the salvation of a Christian life, you know. Don't forget that even though when we become Christians, we all have a measure of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, the Bible says in the book of Romans, otherwise we are none of it. Every Christian has a measure of the Spirit of God. That's in Romans 8. Otherwise, we are none of it. But you have a glass of water, right? It's half filled, right? Doesn't mean there's no water in it, right? There is water, but it's not filled, right? So, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is that making that cup be full of water, you know? I'm going to finish up here. Speaking in tongues, in fact, it's so important that when it is interpreted in the public, simply as prophecy, you know, we are all at money to prophesy one by one that we may all learn, you know. When you have an assembly of people who understand these things, and these things are really in operation, and these things cannot be in operation unless people are living truly in perfect unity, you know. That's why the Holy Ghost works, you know. And another reason why this is not working in many fellowships is the same thing. People are not like this, you know. You know, they're not like this in unity. Bible says in Psalm 133, Bible says how good and how, that bless you together in unity. In the unity, God commands his blessing. So that's one or another reason why this is not really happening in the fellowship or as frequent as it should be. So anyway, what the Bible says is so important, this speaking in tongues, that where minister in the public those who are so gifted, not all everybody has this one. There's like prophecy, you know. That is in 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So, and another reason why the gifts are not working frequently or not working properly in the church is because people think it's a thing to boast and brag themselves about. I can speak in tongues, that's not the purpose. No. First of all, if you are given to minister in the public, it's to edify the church. But whether it's rivalry and all kind of bigotry in the church and division, nobody wants to edify the other one, right? So the gift can't work, you know? Because it's meant for edifying the people, right? When people are fighting themselves, they don't want to edify each other. Anyway, so let's go now. One may pray in the spirit. I don't even know it. I used to be told already. One may pray in the spirit through the unknown tongues. That is in Romans 8:26. And I read that one. So, just highlighting this thing to just, open our eyes to what belongs to you freely. I'm going to be closing. What is the qualification for you? I said that one. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the scripture tells us that here that none of us know how to pray as we ought. None of us at all, you know. But we have a powerful ally in the Holy Spirit, you know, who will, if we permit him, make intercession for us. And since the Spirit of God always knows the mind of God, he will always pray according to the will of God. And this evidently refers to prayer in the Spirit through the unknown tongue, you know, like I said earlier before in so many words, you know. So, and in 1 Corinthians 14:14, to finish up this one, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look at that, you see? When you are confused or you don't know what to pray about, so pray in unknown tongue, so is the way to go, really. But if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. Yes, you can sing in tongues. I don't know, it's a wonderful blessing, really, you know. Yes, you can sing in tongues and so on. That's right there in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Now, speaking in tongues is not a sign, really. In fact, in Mark, you see, this sign shall follow them, right? So, speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers also. It serves as a sign to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14:22. And I read that. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So, in an assembly, that's why, you know, prophesying profited much, you know. So because if in an assembly that is why in unity there comes among you an unbeliever, the Bible says, and through prophecy you are able to show him all the thoughts of his heart. Bible says, won't he fall down before you and say God is in your midst? But he was correcting the Corinthian church at that time. They were wrong too. They will be singing speaking in tongues, many of them at the same time. And so they just had they're like barbarians right now, you know. And the Bible says she also just let two or three speak and let the other one judge and so on about. Anyway, so it's essential to the unbeliever, but prophecy, I mean, so for those that believe. Now, let us finish with this. So, Bible commands us not to forbid speaking in tongues. There are some people who receive the gift and they were speaking in tongues, then they let it go. They don't continue like that and so on. It can happen. But so some people, the Bible encourage them in 1 Corinthians 14:37. That's how important it is. So you who have received the gift of speaking in tongues, they are encouraged to continue on. See? 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, desire it, and forbid not to speak with tongues. You know? So, plus all this scenario. So, they are encouraging us. So, let me ask you. So, what is the qualification for them for speaking with tongues then? What is the qualification for speaking with other tongues? It's so plain from Mark 16, the Lord taught us, this sign shall follow them that believe. So, the qualification to be Christian, that's it, you know? And of course, to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's all the qualification we need. Like salvation, there are some who the devil has, you know, the devil has deceived. They are thinking they are so bad, they have done so bad, they can't be saved. They are too bad to be saved. That's the devil's lies, right? The same thing, many people think, oh, I need to be this, before I can receive the Holy Ghost, I need to be good, I need to be this, I need to be that. No, no, not really. All you need is the Lord. So I need to be holy. You can't be holy without the Holy Spirit. You see, you cannot. Is it? So, but they turn it around. So therefore, they don't get anything. Because they want to be holy before they receive the Holy Ghost. It's the other way around. The Holy Ghost makes you holy, you know? So all you need to be receive the Holy Ghost and to receive this gift is just to be a believer and come as you are to the Lord. That's it, you know? And don't forget, both the baptism of the Holy Ghost and even the speaking in tongues, they are gifts. What is a gift? It's something that is given to you of God. Don't even deserve it, just give it to you. Let's see that in Acts 2:38. When you know it is a gift from God, then your struggle is ended. You don't need to be anything. So before before anything, in Acts 2:38. So I'm saying the baptism of the Holy Ghost and even the speaking in tongues, they are the gifts of God. So that's why in Acts 2:38, when they asked Peter, what do you want us to do? He has preached, and they had them speak in tongues and so on. That, you know, every people had them speaking their own language. What do you want us to do now? Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a gift. That is the emphasis this morning. Satan has deprived many of these blessings by thinking that should be this, they have to be that before they can receive these blessings. No. All you need is Christ. Be a Christian. This sign shall follow. What I believe. And here you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are some who are afraid of maybe there are people, you know, who think that Peter can give them it's something wrong, or there are devils too who speak in all kind of tongues, you know, and they are scared. You see that other churches and so on, that, you know, no, they don't even have the Holy Ghost. Satan is a perverter, and there are counterfeits of everything that God has, you know. So there are counterfeits and so on. So now, in finishing up, even in Luke 11, the Lord now tells us not only that this Holy Ghost of God is a gift, like in Acts 2:38, but don't even be afraid of receiving a counterfeit. Don't be afraid. So that is in Luke 11, verse 9 to 13, and I finish from there now. He starts two purposes to emphasize again that the Holy Ghost and the gifts, speaking in tongues, all of these things, they are the gifts of God. You don't have to work for them, no. And number two, don't be afraid of the devil giving you a counterfeit gift. Don't be afraid of that. So let's go to Luke 11, 9, and I finish from there. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, including the gift Brother, are you promise, seeking in tongues and so on, shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. The same thing with the gift of the Spirit, the same with the speaking in tongues and so on. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now look at verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? To those who are afraid that they might get a counterfeit thing, where if they receive the gift of speaking in tongues, God addresses this thing. Or if his son asks him for a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if that father, or if that son asks his father for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, here it is in verse 13 and the last verse. If then, men, being evil, know how to give good gifts, no? You call it gifts there, good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Even heavenly Father, we all buy gifts for our children and so forth. How much more will our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit and the gift, including the speaking in tongues, to them that ask him? So, we just go through this scripture this morning. The only qualification is, you are already a Christian, and the Bible promised you, this shall follow all that believe, and we don't have to be any kind of holiness. The only holiness we have is that which God has given unto us. So, and we should be bold to reach on out for all these blessings that God has given us. Why shouldn't we take all the blessings of God that promised in this word? That is the purpose of this thing I'm talking about this morning. So you don't have to be one kind, just you are already a Christian, that's right. So have the Spirit of God. Have for your fullness. And then this thing, as you now understand now, it's for you. Nobody can talk it away from it. And you have the right to convert it. And God has promised that He will do it for you. So Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Just our salvation, that will say, even our salvation is a gift of God. We are told in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. So all the things that come from God, they are gifts. Not according to the work which you have done, according to your grace and your mercy, you have saved us. So we thank you for so much loving us that you put all these things at our disposal. So this morning, let as we live here, give us a better understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus to reach on our Lord for all that God has in store for us. This subject is one that the devil has confused many people in the church, many misuse and abuse of the same. That's why, O Lord God, we speak this truth as often as we are there to speak them. So now, as we go this morning, expand this scripture to every one of us this morning, and we pray, Lord, that everyone, Lord, will be blessed of this gift in the days to come. And even now, Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Lord.
Amen.
Yes.